Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. In this series of podcasts, we have carefully selected recent articles included in the latest version of the OMA Obesity Algorithm, which is a comprehensive review of obesity medicine that can be found at obesitymedicine.org. We then discuss this new science with obesity experts. In this episode, OMA Chief Science Officer Dr. Harold Bays interviews Dr. Carolyn Francavilla about a patient-assisted virtual physical during a virtual visit. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leaders in obesity medicine.
Welcome. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, Medical Director and President of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center, located in Louisville, Kentucky. Today, we're going to be doing a podcast for the Obesity Medicine Association. And what we do is we periodically pick out articles that are in the latest version of the Obesity Medicine Association Obesity Algorithm, and then we discuss these newer articles with experts. And today with us, we have Dr. Carolyn Francavilla. Carolyn, why don't you tell the people who you are and what you do?
Thank you so much, Dr. Bays. My name is Dr. Carolyn Francavilla, and I am a board-certified family physician and diplomate of the American Board of Obesity Medicine. And I practice both family medicine and obesity medicine at my family practice in Denver, Colorado, called Green Mountain Partners for Health. Our practice has been utilizing telehealth for the last 5 years, and I'm really excited to talk more about it with you today.
Well, I can't think of a more timely topic than telehealth. So the article we're going to be talking about is, the title is the Telehealth 10, as in the number 10, a guide for patient-assisted virtual physical examination. First author is Catherine Bezinger, and the senior author is a buddy of mine, Neil Stone. So, this is going to be very exciting. Normally, there's some data at the front that we go through and such, but this is more of a sort of a review article and such. And so I'm just going to say this. I remember when I first started out, many of my visits didn't have anything to do with the physical exam. Many of my office visits initially when I first started in practice was just a patient sitting across from me at a desk, and we went through education. And people would walk out and they'd say, "Man, that's like seeing a real doctor." And I think what we've come to, and then what we advanced to, or I guess you could say advanced, is that it had to be, the physical exam had to be there and the other parts had to be there. And it was all for billing, justified billing purposes and such. But now, since we've gone to telehealth, I think Carolyn, you tell me, are we entering into a new permanent age, or do you think what we're doing is transient? And if it is not transient, what are the essential elements that you can do on a physical exam by virtual health?
Well, I sure hope we're going into a new time period where telehealth is embraced long term. I was an early adopter of telehealth. Colorado had required payment for it for the last 5 years. So we utilized that right away. And it really can make healthcare much more accessible to patients. So certainly we all know the importance of it in the COVID pandemic to keep patients and practitioners safe. But it really was something that increased access to care for people before COVID, because you know, many people can't make it to the doctor's office to have those important discussions during business hours. They have jobs of their own or families to take care of, but most of them can take a 15 or 30 minute break where they can go someplace private, sometimes their vehicle or someplace in their home where they can have that conversation with the physician. So it reduces a lot of barriers in terms of commuting and driving and some of those other things. Many people who practice telehealth now were a little skeptical of how to do this. And so I think this was a wonderful article you brought to us today to talk about how to do the physical exam, because I think that was one of the challenges a lot of people had when they were trying to enact telehealth. So briefly, this article describes 10 steps of how to do a physical exam by telehealth. And remembering that when we do exams, the majority of it probably can be done by telehealth because we're really utilizing our eyes for a lot of it, which we still have for telehealth, right? So that is still a component when we're doing that full physical exam. And we can utilize technology to our advantage, particularly in terms of taking vital signs, home blood pressure, cuffs, pulse oxes, and scales, as well as thermometers are readily available to our patients. And many even have technology where they can transmit it directly to the physician or other provider. And so that really makes us more accessible as well. I think one thing to be mindful of when we do telehealth for our patients with obesity is not adding to any stigma or any sort of feeling of embarrassment when asking people to perform an exam on themselves. So sometimes by pointing things out that we may not normally specifically point out to patients, that could be something that could be a sensitive matter for our patients with obesity. For example, acanthosis is something on the neck that sometimes may feel a little personal. And if you're asking specifically about that, that is something that could be a little hard to describe or have a patient look for themselves. So I think we have to keep in mind both sides of this, that the physical exam certainly can be done by telehealth, but we want to be mindful of the patient's comfort as well.
Okay, so getting back to the more granular aspects, what sort of exam of a person's physical being can you conduct through telehealth?
Great question. So like we talked about, vital signs are something that with technology can be readily done. However, most of us know how to take a manual pulse, and most people actually got to practice that at some point in school. So if you were concerned about pulse or wanted that metric, you could teach the patient how to do that, or you could have a family member take that for them. You certainly could do a skin assessment, asking patients to show certain body parts, or I often find having them take a picture and sending it to you beforehand can get a better quality image than what you can get by video. Lungs, obviously we can't auscultate by telehealth yet, although there is a little bit of that technology. It's not readily available, but you could ask for patients to sit at rest. You could observe their breathing pattern. So you might be able to see how fast or slow they're breathing. You could pay attention to if they become breathless during their speech. For the cardiac exam, again, using technology or having themselves assess the pulse, Apple Watches are awesome. They can assess for AFib, which is pretty cool. Patients can self-examine their abdomen. So you could have them lean back in their chair while they're doing their appointment with you, and you could have them, you could demonstrate to them how to palpate their exam and what they might be looking for in terms of tenderness or maybe an enlarged liver in the case of obesity medicine. You could describe edema. You could have the patient show you on their leg if they are assessing for that. And then one of my favorite things in this article is their step 10, which is that the telehealth exam can let you see social determinants of health, and it can really let you see what's going on in that patient's home environment, which is something we don't normally get to do in the traditional exam room.
Right. And I think if you think about it practically, I mean, as a clinician, how many times have you done the lung exam, and maybe you hear some wheezes, but other than that, I mean, how practically, unless the patient's having symptoms, how rewarding has that been, find something that you did not expect? Conversely, looking at a person, you can tell so much about their breathing just simply by visual observation. And I got to tell you this, as an endocrinologist, diabetologist, if we could get everybody to just look at people's feet at every visit, I mean, if that can get done by telehealth, well, that's, we're way ahead of the game. Just looking at, so there's just so much, I agree with you, there's just so much that can be done via telehealth on the physical exam. And as you said, because of the convenience and such, you know, in some ways it can rival the kind of physical exam you might do in your office.
I like the idea of that foot exam because that's a great way to engage the patient, right? Yeah. And make them more aware of their body and sort of teaching them how they could do that foot exam themselves. Same thing with breathing, right? Helping patients be more aware of what's going on with their body. So I think it engages the patient more in the physical exam as well. Instead of it being something we are doing to the patient, they are now involved and understand some of what we're looking for as well.
Right. I mean, I guess I've never thought about that. Right. If they come into the office, you're doing the physical exam at them. I think you kind of said it that way. And on the other hand, if it's by virtual health, you're doing a physical exam with them. Right. And I think that's a very different approach. And I think some could argue that's a more patient-centered approach. All right. So both of us, I think we can agree, very excited about the potential of virtual health and such. And a lot can be done through virtual health with regard to the physical exam. But are there any downsides? Are there any challenges with conducting the physical exam via telehealth?
There are certainly going to be limitations. And so I think it's important that we consider the risks and background of our patient before we decide if the telehealth exam is going to be sufficient. So often in obesity medicine, we do want to feel confident that the patient has a healthy heart before starting some of the medications we use, like the sympathomimetic amines. And so there certainly is telehealth opportunities to confirm that you feel the patient is healthy from a cardiac standpoint. But in a patient who is potentially high risk, maybe they are older, maybe they have some symptoms of palpitations, maybe they have a potential cardiac history or even chest pain, we have to remember that there still is a role for that in-person exam. So if there is someone that you are concerned about, we need to figure out how to get them an in-person exam. That may be with you. Perhaps, you know, they can come to your office. That may be referring them to their primary care provider or a specialist for that exam. But I think we have to be mindful that we still need to use our medical judgment. And if there is a concern and that an in-person exam would be better, we need to find a way to do that in-person exam.
So the virtual physical exam is complementary to an in-office physical exam. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
It often may be. So for some people, especially if you've seen them before and it's a follow-up, the virtual exam may be sufficient, or it may be a triaging, right? The virtual exam may be a triage and may be something where you need to actually follow up in person.
No, I think that, look, there's some things you do have to physically touch the patient, looking, you know, feeling for thyroid nodules, or you're going to have to listen to heart murmurs or carotid bruits or those types of things. But I think you hit the nail right on the head there. For interim visits, particularly if it's sort of a frequent interim visit, there's just so much that can be gained from a virtual health physical exam. And then that also allows you to spend some more time on these other things that you talked about, social determinants, as well as medical education. You know, things are going to really make a difference in the intervention of patients. So great. Really great stuff there. I agree with you. I think this was a good summary for the physical exam. Do you have any final thoughts?
I would say that I think telehealth is here to stay. If you're not already utilizing it, it is time to think about how you can implement it for your patients. It really is a way that increases access to care and helps people stay adherent to our advice.
Well, there you go. I think that's a great way to end this. So, Carolyn, thank you so much. I think it's been very educational to answer a question. I think it's on the minds of many people who maybe haven't done telehealth yet. It can be done. Here's some practical tips on how to do it. So thank you. And thank you, the listener, for listening to the Obesity Medicine Association podcast.
Thank you, Drs. Bays and Francavilla. For more information about obesity medicine podcasts and other resources from the clinical leaders in obesity medicine, please visit www.obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. Loved the episode of Obesity, a Disease? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. The views expressed in this podcast episode are those of the show hosts and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please check back in soon for another episode of Obesity, a Disease.